Welcome to those of you who are visiting, whether it be just to drop in and say hello, or you're coming to support Krista. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. We trust that you feel a part of our family here this morning. This morning we're going to look just for a little bit at what that song was talking about. Christ, our solid rock. It's a very common scriptural theme that Christ is our rock. It's nothing, if you've been in church for any time at all, it's probably nothing new or nothing that you haven't heard before. So we're going to be looking from Matthew 7 this morning, and Jesus shares a parable about the rock in several places in Scripture, both here and in Luke. But this morning we're focusing specifically on Matthew 7. So let's pray, and then if you have your Bibles, hopefully you have your Bibles with you, we'll dig into that. And the reason I encourage you to bring your Bibles isn't because it makes you look good. God doesn't give you extra something in heaven because you brought your Bible every week. You get like an extra room on your mansion or something like that. It helps you to listen to God. I know when I listen to a sermon, I have my Bible with me, and I'm reading it as much as I'm allowing it to read me. And the words that a person speaks up front, sometimes we don't connect with, but we can always connect with God. So if what I'm speaking this morning, it's just not what God's saying to you, at least if you have God's word there, it's something that you can pick apart for yourself and be sensitive and listen to the Holy Spirit for that. So let's ask the Lord to be with us as we begin to soften our hearts and open our minds. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning, for Krista, for the Bowman family, the extended family, for everyone has had a part in Krista's life, in her wonderful journey, a journey that's not over, in fact, just beginning a new phase. Father, I pray it would be true of her as it is of many people in Scripture. As they believed in you and were baptized, their growth and their understanding and their depth of spiritual awareness, their closeness to you, all seemed to increase exponentially from that point on. And so, Father, this morning we're trusting you to open our eyes, open our hearts, that we would listen to you, we'd understand you, we'd know what you're saying, we'd walk away with clarity, not just having come to something social, having come to something to see a relative or to connect or something for our kids. Lord, I pray that today we would connect with you, that our hearts would be molded and shaped by you. God, we can't do that on our own as much as we want to have that right attitude. It depends on you and what you do in us. And so we ask now that you would open our hearts, Holy Spirit, open our minds, and speak to us in the core of our being. I ask these in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 29 says this. I'm reading from the NIV. And for those of you who have been in church sometime, how many grew up with NIV version? Some of you? Okay. How many of you know there's a new NIV? Okay, so yeah, see? So that'll mess you. So I'm reading from the NIV, but it's the new NIV, so it kind of sounds like the old one from 1984. They actually called the NIV from 1984 on websites, Bible Gateway, and things like that, NIV 1984. So just to further confuse you, I'm reading from NIV 2011. Not because it's better, just because it is. All right, it's there. No, I didn't mean it's better, just because it's there. Here's what I'm reading from. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it didn't fall, because it has its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish person who built their house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. I want to start with those final two verses. Often when we move through a parable, we start with the beginning, but the last two verses really set the stage for this. Because the crowds were amazed at Jesus' teaching. It was something they hadn't heard before. He taught with authority, not like their other religious leaders. This story needs to be taken in deeply because of its effects on the people around us. Now, if you've been in church for any time, you probably know a little song, you know, the wise man built his house upon, you know, on rains came tumbling. Anybody know that one? Yeah, see? And the funny part is when you put your hands up, you smile because you remember that. You probably had a wonderful Sunday school teacher who taught you that, and the boys didn't want to sing it and all that fun stuff and star on your attendance and all those wonderful memories come flooding back. But when we hear a story that's so familiar like that, sometimes we miss the deeper meaning. We remember the song, we can remember things and emotions about that. And if this is a new story to you, then that's great. It's fresh to you the same way it would have been to Jesus' hearers that day. But this wasn't just some nice story that Jesus kind of sort of spoke, that people gathered, heard, and walked away. It's kind of, you ever been to the market or somewhere where there's a booth with someone selling something, usually something you've seen on TV, and they're really selling hard? I mean, a while ago it was ShamWow at the market. Did anyone ever walk past like the ShamWow booth or anything like that? What else? They have like the mop that picks things up. They have all sorts of stuff. And the salesman has something much like this and a little speaker, saleswoman, and they're pushing hard. And there's a crowd gathered. And what do you do when the crowd is gathered? Well, you're walking and you gather and you listen for a little bit. It wasn't like that, where people kind of gathered and went, eh, that was neat, and walk away, not buying, not, you know, most people not doing that. The crowd was astonished. Think about that. Think about the story. It's not a big, long story. It doesn't even seem that deep. He simply shared a simple story about two different foundations, two different people who built their lives on two different foundations. And they were amazed. They walked away amazed. And at that story, I mean, it comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, so they're really referring to all of his teaching, but he wraps it up with this, and they're amazed. Jesus doesn't teach like the other people. He teaches as one with authority. But many people, myself included, interpret this story wrongly. And it was actually a guy by the name of Leonard Sweet, who was one of the speakers at Pitch this year. He's coming to our assembly for our Evangelical Missionary Church next May here in Ontario. Great thinker. I was hearing him speak once, and he suggested this. He didn't fill it in. He just said, you know, there's certain stories we really don't understand the meaning. And he rattled off a few and listed this as one of them. And so in looking at this this week, I really struggled to find what is Jesus actually saying. And have a look at this, and this might help you have some deeper understanding. So, how many of you have an iPhone, smartphone, something like that? Have that? What's Apple's, what's their tagline? There's an app for that, right? So if you have a smartphone, Android, whatever, BlackBerry, there's apps. We have these apps. I got a new app about a month and a half ago. I thought I should probably get in shape, and it's called MyFitnessPal. And I thought, that's great. It tracks your calories. It can keep track of your workouts. It's wonderful. It connects to the cloud. I have one log. One log. Thank you. I have been working out and going to the gym regularly, but I haven't been doing the rest. It can't make me. I thought it was a wonderful idea. You just decide, I'm having this meal, and you say, this is what I'm eating, and it pulls up the calories, and then you enter in the calories you burned, and you track it, and you lose weight and get fit. Simple, right? Easy. I don't have to look up stuff. It's so easy. application is everything. Okay? It's all in the application. It's not the app. It's the application. And that's what Jesus is really talking about. And I think we misinterpret this to be, if you pop it up there, Joel, I think we misinterpret this for a couple of reasons. The interpretation we typically have of what Jesus says is, build your life on God, who is the rock, and everything will be okay. All right? Now, that is a very biblical thing. I was just reading the other day in the Old Testament, several passages where God is referred to as the rock. It's the rock of our salvation. Hide me in the cleft of the rock. Oh, God, you are my rock. I stand on you. You are steadfast. You are firm. It's a very biblical way, and it's very easy for us to interpret it that way. It comes very naturally to us. I don't think that's what Jesus was saying. He's hinting at it, but I think it's a whole lot deeper than that. And I think there are two problems, mainly, with interpreting it that way, that just God is our rock. The first one is that Jesus is not referred to anywhere here as the rock. In no point in this parable, in this story, as he finishes off the Sermon on the Mount, teaching to his disciples, and we've looked at that here in years past, he doesn't refer to himself as the rock. The passage doesn't talk about building your life on Jesus. He doesn't say, I am the rock. He just doesn't say that. The Message renders it this way. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They're foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words in your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, or a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in, the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. Yes, Jesus wants us to build our life on him as the rock, by all means. But that's not the point. The point is that we listen and we apply. We listen, we learn, and we apply his teachings. Jesus refers to this as having a foundation that's solid. Those who hear his words and don't apply it are like people who have a weak foundation. It's like building a house on sand. So that's the first problem with that classic interpretation. The second one is much like it. You know, belief that God is your rock doesn't mean he's your rock. Just simply saying, I think God is my rock, doesn't mean that he is. If we believe in Jesus is simply teaching that God needs to be our rock, then we're much like many other people. There are so many people in this world who would say, I believe in God, and he's part of my faith system, and I think he's there listening to me. He's a part of my life. You know, I've come from a church background, a Christian worldview, so God is a part of things. But then the storms of life come, and they seem lost, and God, where are you? Why aren't you near me? Why does the bottom keep washing out of my life every time trouble comes? God, I believe in you. You're there. I go to church and sometimes, and I believe in all this stuff, but just believing doesn't make God your rock. You prove your belief by what you do, and you make God your rock by listening, learning, and applying. A few verses from the New Testament say something along these lines. Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In other words, it's not enough just to believe in your heart. You got to put it to your mouth and your actions, your feet, your hands. It has to affect. If your belief doesn't affect what you do, it's not a belief. It's just a thought. James says a number of things about this in chapter 2. We'll work backwards. Verse 24 says this, you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Verse 18 and 19, but someone will say, you have faith, okay, so you have belief, I have what I do. James says, show me your faith without deeds, but I'll show you my faith, my belief, by my deeds, by what I do. You believe there is one God, good, that's great. Even the demons believe that, and they tremble, they shudder. Demons know God. Evil spirits know God. They know about him. They know his word. better than us, probably. They were angels once. And it's not enough. Belief is not enough. And belief is not enough is never more true in our lives than when storms come. And when we wonder where God has gone. When we say things like, you know, where's my foundation? Where's my rock now? I'm not happy with my life. I'm not growing. My life is hard and God doesn't care at all. I believe in Jesus. I've committed to follow him, but I'm not growing. Things aren't changing. I'm not experiencing full life he promised. I'm feeling lost. I can't seem to get anything together in my life. No matter how hard I try, God seems distant. My life doesn't seem to change. God's not your rock and your foundation just because you say he is. God is your rock and foundation as you live that out, as you obey Jesus' teaching. Now, that word is an old-fashioned word, and for my generation, we don't like it. The word obey, right? We can say apply. We can say, you know, just do it, Nike, all these different things. But as soon as you say obey, it sounds really weighty and really heavy. Why would God ask us to obey? Isn't God loving? Doesn't he know where we are at? Isn't he going to just be gracious time and time again? Yes. But if you want to live and experience the life that God has for you, if you want to understand him as your rock, you have to obey. You have to apply it. It doesn't make sense any other way. I'm going to suggest something that will sound offensive at first, and it sounds like it lacks a lot of grace, but it is actually a biblical theme. If your life is in turmoil, if you believe in God, if you attempt to follow him, and things just aren't clicking, you're not growing, you're frustrated, God seems distant, and in Scripture there are times where he withdraws his presence, there are times where God is distant in his graciousness and teaching, he just knows what we need. But can I suggest that probably you need to start with yourself? Instead of blaming God constantly for where you're at in life, start with yourself. It's probably not God. Maybe it is, but it's probably not. It's probably you. And that does sound offensive. We don't like anyone to sit down and say, it's not me, it's you. Nobody likes that. We don't like that. But we need to start from that place. Jesus said, look, you want to have a strong foundation? You want to apply all these teachings I've just talked about in Matthew from 5, 6, 7, several chapters, a full day or days of teaching? You need to have a foundation. All this stuff can only be applied if you have the right foundation. You need to build on the right things. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. What's the difference between someone who allows God to change them, someone who grows, someone who's slow and steady? I've said this to several people in the past couple months. You know, if you look at your life, you want to see this, right? Slow, steady growth. But if you zoom in, it's often like this, right? Because, you know, today I was angry and I sinned and I came back and I had this weekend where I didn't listen to God and there's like this month I was really angry and I didn't go to church. And it's kind of like this. But there were these times where I connected with God and he spoke so clearly to me. And I know he's real and he knows what I need. And so he did this for me or did this through me or did this to me. And so we're kind of like this. But what's the difference between someone who's growing steadily and someone who seems to be spinning their tires, staying still, always caught in the sin, confess, same sin, same old troubles. They're just staying still and they're frustrated and they can't seem to grow. Well, it could be a number of things, but I think we need to start with at least we know it's choices and application. At least it's one thing. It's probably a whole lot of things, but you can only start with the things you can change. I can't change my circumstances. I can't change how other people drive around me. I can't change my family's feelings. I can't change, how you're feeling. I can't change a whole lot of stuff in this world. But I can certainly change my attitude, my actions, and my behaviors. And if Jesus is saying, you want to have the life I've planned for you, you start with this foundation. Simply listen, so get to know my teachings, learn them, and then start to do them. Once you start to do that, the rest you can grow in. It's interesting how Luke renders this. So the Gospels are very different. They're different people's accounts of the same things. And so sometimes, you know, when you tell a story and someone else tells a story, you're telling the same story. It's not that one person's right, one person's wrong. You just experienced it very differently. So Luke experiences this in his account. He wasn't there, but as he studied this and asked onlookers, what happened there? He says it this way. Jesus said this, "It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it's well built." Dig deep. So you're digging and you're hitting rock, then you're building from there up. Are you digging? Are you digging in his word? Are you listening? Are you learning? Because you can't apply what you don't know. You just can't. It makes complete logical sense. But before we go any further, I can hear some people in their hearts. At least this is what I thought. Because it sounds like a lot of work based on us, right? So if you just simply read the Bible and go to church and have some other people around you who can explain that, then everything will go well. And when a storm comes, you know, foundation won't be taken out. And it's all about me, and it's all about me, and it's all about me. If you try and follow Jesus' teachings apart from him, it will not work. It cannot work. It's the paradox of faith. God wants us to take steps to grow. Steps of obedience, steps of application, steps of learning. He relies on us. He'll never make us do that. He's given us a free will to do as we see fit. But when we take steps of obedience, God comes in behind with strength. When we start to lay the foundation, guess who builds the house? God. When we take those steps, God comes in and fills the rest up for us. Not in our own strength, in his, but he waits for us. God can be referred to as a gentleman sometimes. He just waits. Here's all my teachings, here's my blessings, here's what I have for you. So that when the storms come, and they do, isn't that interesting? Jesus says, look, the person who builds his or her house on the rock, those who build on the sand, both people had storms. They weren't saved from storms. You can't change your circumstances. You can't change your life. Sometimes God comes in and alters circumstances, but more often than not, he does not. Jesus is talking about something deeper. He's not talking about changing your circumstances. He's talking about changing you. Changing you. And so Jesus calls his disciples up on a hillside, and he takes time with them, and he says, I've got some teaching for you that's going to be deeper than anything you've ever understood. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You heard it say, don't commit adultery, but I say don't have lust in your heart. You've heard it said, don't commit murder, but I'm saying don't even be angry in your heart. You read my law and commandments, and you thought it was all about out here. All your actions. That's all you focused on. And the religious leaders made rules. I think it was like 617 or something. Rules and regulations to try and obey God. And Jesus said, in all those attempts, you missed it. So I'm going to teach you all these things, but in order to apply all of these things, you've got to start with the right foundation. And I think that paradox, that it's both, completely up to us to begin, but has nothing at all to do with us to finish. That paradox of applying these deeper teachings that go against the norm that we experience in our everyday life in the world. I think that's what people walked away from and said, oh, I've never heard anything like this before. Simple stories that are so deep. It's crazy what Krista did today. It's crazy. Who does that? We gather together, some odd hundred people, to watch someone go underwater. That's nuts. That doesn't make any sense to us. God's economy doesn't make sense to us. But what he's saying is, if you do these things, I will do these things. But I wait till you do these things so I can do these things. Because if you're not prepared to dig deep and to learn and apply, you're not ready for the blessings, for the teaching, for the maturing that I have for you. So what do we do with all this? You know, what's the difference between someone who's growing and someone standing still? Well, it's a number of things, but at least we know from Jesus' teaching, it's application. Those who hear my words, learn them, and apply them, they'll have a solid foundation. Those who hear my words and, I don't have to follow that, will constantly be struggled because the storms will come all the time. There are some of you I can look at this morning. I know you're in the middle of a storm. There are people not here because they're in hospital or recovering or just the bottom's been taken out of their life. We know that we have storms, all of us. They just come. That's part of life. But the difference between those who follow Jesus and apply and those who don't is that when the storms come, the bottom doesn't get washed out. You ever heard that phrase? It feels like the bottom's dropped out of my life. In one moment, the bottom's dropped out of my life. It's all the difference between someone who's lost someone in a car accident, is angry and after charges and this, that, and the other, and what we've all been experiencing as a community, if you've been following the Hurley's blog or seen them on TV. That's craziness. That doesn't make sense to my natural being. It doesn't make sense. It's only because of God, and that's the kind of life that Jesus wants us to have. There are people here who you're not experiencing what God has for you at all. You are spinning your tires again and again. You are stuck in your way, whether that's spiritually, whether that's part of life, whether that is increased by emotional instability and depression and things like that. But you need to have a starting place. So I want to give you a simple starting place, really simple. Start reading God's Word. That's it. I heard James McDonald talking about this a couple weeks ago, if you listen to him on Faith FM or online. And he was trying to get people in the Bible, and he said, look, just start with one chapter a day. Thought it was great advice. One chapter a day. Do that. Start with that. And as you do that, if you come up to things you don't understand or you don't know how to start to apply, find others who can answer. Me, other church people, friends. Find a small group. Talk to people. That's how we grow. That's why we gather. We don't gather because we like to sit in rows. Isn't that ridiculous? Okay? We gather because we're all in this journey together, and we're trying to learn how to live this out better. So we rub shoulders with other people, and we ask questions, and we learn. So start there. Secondly, if you start to read God's Word, and you're kind of growing, but it's not going so well, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like, you know there's a sandy foundation under there, but you put a sprinkling of gravel, and so sometimes it's kind of hard. You ever built like that? I've built like that. And you think you got enough gravel, and then the rain comes, and everything sags. It's like that. You need to start getting into some deeper teaching then, and some deeper application. You can put the next one up there, Joel. You need to learn and apply deeper things. Okay, learn and apply deeper things. Move on from the simple elementary. But the simple elementary is not like 2 weeks, ding, I'm done, I'm ready, God. It is a process. Okay, it's a season of life. That can be years, right? That can be short periods of time. That's up to God. So if you find you're just not growing more, you're sticking with this, maybe it's time to move on to some deeper things. Maybe it's time to join a small group, being a mentor, mentoring a relationship, take a course, read a new book, do something different. You know, if you've been sticking with our daily bread is great. It's a great starting place. Excellent. I still go back to it now and then. But it's not going to sustain you for deeper life, right? So go to something deeper. And the third group of you are, man, you're growing and you're solid and you're consistent. You need to take what you've learned and what God is doing in you and find others you can disciple. All it means to disciple is to walk alongside someone. Doesn't mean you're an expert. Some of us shy away from walking with others who are weaker in the faith. There's nothing wrong with saying it that way, because we feel we have to have it all together. Discipling, mentoring, walking alongside someone doesn't mean you have it all figured out. It means you're more broken, more humble, more honest about where you're really at than you ever have been before, but you're just simply further along the journey. And you can help them miss some of the pitfalls you've walked in or correct some mistakes that you've made. We need that in our marriages. We need older couples to meet with younger couples. We need older, more experienced people to talk with younger people. We need parents who don't just take care of the needs of their kids, but all the kids. And we invest in them, and we walk alongside them. If that's you, I encourage you to do that. Set something up official. Say, you know, you and me, we should do coffee once a month. Or why don't we read this book? Or I've been thinking about you lately, and I'm praying, how can I help you? How can I bless you? Can I come over and fold some clothes? Do you need me to watch your baby for an hour? There's so many things that just simply you can really help a younger, more struggling, someone without a firm foundation. So Jesus' teaching is amazing. The crowds walked away and said, I can't believe this. This is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. And it's because of the way Jesus spoke. So I want to encourage you to take the steps you need to make. I can't tell you what that is. I've given you some ideas. But take the steps you need to build a strong foundation. Dig down deep. Build your foundation on the rock. Listen, learn, and apply Jesus' teachings and see if your life is in a whole lot better than it has ever has been. See if your faith seems to connect a whole lot deeper. See if it makes sense. See if God isn't more real, more tender, more deep. Because you sit here and you hear people speak like this about God, and you just have no understanding. You're like, how can someone speak about God as my friend, but also holy and sovereign? And I'm close, but he's big. If you don't understand that, just simply start. I encourage you to do anything you have to build a foundation. Let's ask the Lord to do that for us, because it's not about us. It's about him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus gives such practical, meaningful, great words to us in the Gospels, in the Old Testament, in the epistles, throughout the Bible. Lord, we cannot live without you. We cannot expect to experience you in a way that is meaningful and deep and lasting unless we apply. So, Father, as we make the commitment to study, to learn, to build foundations, we trust you to come in behind with the strength we need. Lord, for those who are this morning are just frustrated and weak and struggling, I ask that they would have a sense of your strength. For those who are feeling alone in a whole group of people, I ask that you put it on someone's heart to walk up to them and begin deeper relationship. That's what church is, God. Thank you for this opportunity to gather this morning. We pray you would strengthen us, encourage us, Lord, for those who aren't here, whether they're discouraged or sick or away, Lord, we think of them, and we ask that your spirit would speak to them and they know your very real presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Would you like to stand with us for our last song?